So a few weeks ago, my wife was in our apartment with a few of her friends. Baruch Hashem, we just were zocha to have our first child. So my wife is home taking care of our son. And a few of her friends from work came to visit her. By the time I got back to the apartment, they were very heavily involved in a discussion. I came in. From what I heard in the middle of the conversation, they were discussing how, well, I don't know, it makes it seem a little weird. No, maybe he just has a laid-back personality. I don't know what to make of it. Maybe it shows that he's just not a fancy guy. Maybe it shows that, you know, he doesn't know how to treat a lady. Maybe he doesn't have a lot of class, doesn't have a lot of money. And they're going back and forth in this deep conversation, this deep discussion. And I'm just wondering, what was it about this guy that my wife's friend had mentioned to the group that made him get into such a deep conversation? And then finally turned to me, said, "So, this is what happened. They're going on a first date tonight, and the guy called her up, and in the phone conversation, he says to her, 'You know, I'm in the mood for a pastrami sandwich, so how about we go to a deli tomorrow night?'" And they couldn't make their minds, what does it mean? Is this good? Is this bad? And I'm sitting there, and as delicately and as nicely as I possibly could, I just wanted to say to her, "Who cares?" But I obviously couldn't. Basically, I just met this woman, so I was trying to be a little bit more, like I said, delicate and politically correct about it. So I tried to say, well, you know, maybe it just shows he's relaxed, and, you know, I don't think I'd make too much of it. You know, whatever it is, you know, he's probably just talking. Wouldn't make too much of it. Hopefully she took that lesson to heart. I'm not sure. I guess I'll find out from my wife how the date went. But so it seems very, very funny to us that a bunch of girls will sit around and have a conversation discussing, guy wants a pastrami sandwich, what does that mean? Is that a good sign, a bad sign? But yet, some of the things that we tend to worry about within our dating lives aren't so far off. We'd be surprised to hear. So what I want to discuss over the next half hour or so, in a sense, is what should we be thinking about? What should we be thinking about? Obviously, this is a major decision in our lives, and it has to be based on something. It's not haphazard. We're not flipping a coin. Although I'm not so sure that wouldn't be such a bad idea sometimes. That's just as smart of a way of making these types of decisions. But yet, you have to make a decision based on something. So let's discuss for a little bit what to make that decision based on. So I want to start off, before we get to the ikkar part of the shiur, with actually what really should be the ikkar, which is a ha'ara that was pointed out by Rav Yaakov Zev Smith Shlita, a Rav in Borough Park in Torah Vadas. The first shidduch, so to speak, that we find in the Torah is where Eliezer Eved Avram goes out to find a shidduch for Avram's son Yitzchak. Now, if you take a look for a second at Yitzchak, he has every single thing possible going for him. He's as from and as Yirei Shemayim as you could possibly find. He obviously has yichus. We know Avraham Avinu had tremendous wealth. He had yichus, he had the family, he had everything in the world going for him. And yet, what is Eliezer's first move? When he begins his journey, what is the first thing he does? This is Parshas Chayisara, Perek Chav Dalid, Pasuk Yud Beis. Eliezer says, Vayomar, Eliezer says, Hashem Elokei Adoni Avraham, Hakre na lefanai hayom, vasei chesed im Adoni Avraham. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hear me, become close. Do this chesed for me, do this chesed for Avraham. The first thing he does is he turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with every single thing he has going for him, and as easy as this journey is going to be for Eliezer to find the shidduch for Yitzchak Avinu, and yet the first step, what does he do? He turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, please HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let this be easy. And that's the first, and that is the ikkar lesson of everything that we have going forward. Everything we'll be talking about basically is really tuffel to this idea. The first thing we do is we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the first, it's the middle, and it's the last. As we continue on through the process, and even afterwards, as Rabbi Blass spoke tonight about HaKadosh HaTov, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, Be'ezus Hashem, when the Shidduch finally is completed, we have to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we have to ask for that guidance, for that Hatzlacha. That is the first and most crucial point. We must turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ask for that. Number two, and this is a point that I personally feel very, very strongly about. Something that, unfortunately, I've seen in practice, and it is not a good thing, and it is something that I feel should stop immediately. And like I said, I've seen personal examples where it has led to negative consequences. As we know, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, "Asei lecha rav uknei lecha chaver." We have to find for ourselves a rav, and we have to knei lecha chaver by a chaver. I'm not going to go into the lashon why it says "Asei lecha rav uknei lecha chaver," but yet we see they are two distinct individuals. There is one person who serves as our rav. There is another person who serves as our chaver, and they are two different people. A rav is someone that we turn to for etza, for advice, for hadracha, to give us a perspective on something going on in our lives that we don't know what it is. We have no hasaga of what marriage is. We have no hasaga of what it takes to have a good marriage. So in our dating lives, we need that hadracha. We need someone who's been there. We need someone who has the life experience and the wisdom to see a situation and to be able to relay that to us and to say, well, in what's going on with you, this is what I think is going on. That is the Rav's job. A Chaver's job is nowhere near anything like that. We have friends that should be for venting. You come back from a horrible date, something went terribly wrong, you want to vent about the date, it's not going well, dating in general is not going well, you want to vent, okay, fine, as long as there are no names involved, of course. The pitfall of Lashon Hara is extremely common within Shidduchim. That's something, of course, we have to be careful about. You want to vent, you want to ask what color shirt to wear, you want to ask if I need to shave before the date, should I go to ESPN Zone, should I go to Toys R Us, things like that. Speak to your friends about all you want. But when you're getting involved in a relationship and you need advice, we do not turn to our friends for so many different reasons. I will not go into so many of them now because it's not the main point of what I want to discuss now. But for so many different reasons, we do not turn to our friends for advice. I've heard this from the Talmidei Chachamim of this yeshiva. I've heard this from Talmidei Chachamim from outside the yeshiva. It is a davar muskam to everyone. We do not turn to our young friends for advice. I personally spoke to a Rosh Yeshiva of a different yeshiva outside of ours. He is a tremendous Talmud Chacham as well as holding a PhD in psychology. And the words exactly he said to me were, so let me guess how it works with you guys. Your 21-year-old married friend and his brilliant 21-year-old wife are in charge of the whole shidduch system, huh? And basically, at the time, that's really what was going on. And he left. He said, I could tell you more about you in 5 minutes than your friend and his wife can tell about the couple after hours and hours and years of knowing them. And it is 100% true. And yes, that even goes for married couples. Even married couples. A guy who's been married for a year or even two, if he's 21, 22, even 23 years old, there is so much more to life. There's so much more experience, so much more complication that goes on in life that needed a rav, not a friend. It's something that I cannot stress more. I've heard countless examples where a couple would get engaged because their friends told them to, and meanwhile there were red flags being raised all over the place that they just ignored because their friends told them to ignore it. Or if friends told him to break it off, this certain thing is a red flag, this marriage can never work. And yet, had they spoken to an expert, someone more experienced, someone with more wisdom and insight, they would have said, this is not an issue b'chalal for marriage. Rabbi Didi Hava Uvda, I once spoke to one of my rebbeim, and I was relaying to him a maisa with a girl that I was dating, and I was expecting him to say, listen, there was a certain thing that happened, and I was expecting him to tell me what I thought, that this shows a certain negative midah of this girl, so I'm just not sure it's good to go out with her. He said to me, totally lehefech of what I thought. He said, no, that's not a big deal. But let me tell you what does come out of that story. And he told me an entirely different thing. Now, was he right or not? I have no idea. I didn't marry that girl. So I have no idea what would have ended up happening with that, with her. But I can guarantee you he saw it the way it should have been seen. And that's something that is crucial. There are so many rebbeim here who are yearning to be able to give over their experience. There are the Rashi Yeshiva, of course, with the Skam Ashkichim, the Sholem Yeshivim, the BMP Rosh Yeshivas, the IBC Rosh Yeshivas, the Machin Rebbeim. There's so many people around. It doesn't have to be a Rav. A Rav, it doesn't have to be someone with, quote, smicha. Just an older individual, someone with a little bit more life wisdom than us, to be able to guide us in this way of something that we don't know what it is. Like we spoke about 2 weeks ago, marriage is a destination, it's a journey. If we don't know what the journey is, how can we possibly know exactly what is good and bad in dating? We don't even know where we're going. We need the older person to guide us in that. It's something crucial. And the last ha'ara is tznius. tznius, which goes along with the refraining, so to speak, from speaking to friends, tznius does not just mean covering our elbows, collarbone, and knees. Tznius means that whatever is precious and kadosh, I hold inside. I don't go blabbing it around to the entire world. Unfortunately, we live in a society, in a generation, where a thought doesn't count unless you tweet it. And if you have an idea, it's not important unless you put it on a blog. And nothing could be further from the kedusha that tznius brings to our lives. Again, you need to vent something, you're not sure about whatever, you want to talk to your friend about that, pick one or two friends, and use them as your sounding board. But the obstacles that come up, and the shortcomings that will come up in our relationships, by blabbing everything around to the entire world, is something that we have to do our best to avoid. The Gemara discusses how a bracha cannot be shoroi on something that is weighed, measured, or counted. Because the second it enters into this world and it has physical, tangible elements to it, so then it's limited by the natural order of this world. That's why you hear of tzaddikim who will never count the money in their bank account. They have no idea. Because the second I count it, I know how much money is there. Also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's going to instantly click it up. That's not the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu works. He won't do nisim geluyim. Right? Halavai, that were the case. But as long as we keep something to ourselves, as long as we hold on to those emotions, so then that bracha can be shari on what it is that we are sharing with this other person. Again, we have to share things with our rebbeim. We have to share things with one or two friends only, because it's good to let some information out. It's good to talk to people, 100%. But to sit around on a Thursday night in our dorm rooms with 15, 20 guys and telling about the last date I just went on is something that must stop. I remember when I was in yeshiva here, there was a whole series of dating schmoozing by the Rosh Yeshiva. And up until that point, my friends and I, we would do that. We would sit in our rooms, we would talk about our dates, we would discuss things that happened, whatever, left and right. And all of a sudden, you had all the Rosh Yeshiva getting up and saying, you cannot talk about your dates to your friends. And Baruch Hashem, we all stopped, and you see a tremendous difference. Things of Kedusha have to have tznius with them. It's the tznius that leads to the Kedusha. So now let's get to what I hope is the ikkar part of the shir here. You have in front of you a tshuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein. I'm sure many of you have seen tshuvas inside from Rav Moshe Feinstein. You've seen the length of some of them. Some of them have different chapters. They go on for pages. Very complex, complicated issues. This one, as you see in front of you, is a total of 4 paragraphs discussing the idea of harchakos. And we know with a husband and a wife, when the wife is in a state of being a nida, there are certain harchakos, there are certain things that we put in place to keep a distance between the husband and the wife. Rav Moshe discusses how these harchakos only apply to a husband and a wife. It's a very ironic thing. That while you're dating a girl, there are certain things you're allowed to do, but when you're married to her, you are not allowed to do them anymore. For example, it's a very simple thing. A husband and a wife are not allowed to pass something to each other if the wife is in a state of nida. I cannot hand my wife something. A husband cannot do it. They cannot eat off the same plate. They cannot eat each other's leftovers. And many such harchakos. A guy and a girl who are just dating, that is perfectly allowed. Rav Moshe discusses that in the first paragraph. The second paragraph, Rav Moshe is asked a very interesting shaila. Very interesting shaila. A couple who is dating, they wanted to know if they were the right ones for each other. And how do we know if we're the right ones for each other? We're only spending 3-4 hours at a time together, 3-4-5 times a week, whatever it is. But none of that can match spending 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with a person. But how can a guy and a girl, B'nai and B'nos Torah, possibly figure out a way of doing this? Oh, so this couple had a brilliant chap. What we're going to do is we are going to live in the house of an other couple. And I'm going to have my room, she's going to have her room, and we're going to spend all our time together until the second we go to sleep. The second we wake up, we'll be together. The second we go to sleep, we'll separate. We'll stay in separate rooms. but we're going to get a real feel as close as it possibly can be to what it's like to be married. And they wanted to know, is this yichud? So Rav Moshe paskins, very simply, it depends on whether or not this married couple whose house you are staying in knows you are married. Because if they think you are married, then they will have no issue with you walking into a room and locking the door behind you. And the couple themselves won't feel any shame walking into that room and locking the door behind them. But if the married couple knows that these two people are single and they are not married, then they will be watching after them, and the couple themselves will have the shame to not be miyached with each other. So it's not yichud as long as, again, the married couple knows that this couple is single. Now, look at the last paragraph. V'zehu le'inyan midas hadin. This is Igros Moshe Yeredea Chilak Aleph Simen Tzadi. This is all halacha l'maisa. This is just me'ikar hadin, what the halacha is in terms of yichud. Aval l'maase ein ze kedai. But in actuality, it's not worth it, lasos, to do it this way. Ki ein lehischakim harbe. Because you shouldn't try to be too smart for yourself. V'ha'isha, and these are key words. Shemotzos chen b'mar'eho. You are attracted to her. U'v'mishpachto, family. Ushmu asa tova shehisho meres das. You have heard that she is a from Yirei Shamayim. Yesh lismoch v'lisa osa b'tikva shehi ha'mizumenas lo min ha'shamayim. I should just marry her, and then I should hope that she is the one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has set aside for me. V'ein sarach livcho nosa mitchila. I should not be testing her from the start. V'gam shelo yo'il. And even if you want to test her, don't even bother, because it doesn't help at all anyway. Ki ein havchana zu klum. Because trying to test her means nothing. And he finishes off by quoting the pasuk, v'tomim tiyah im Hashem k'siv. The pasuk says, be tomim. What does it mean to be tomim? So this comes from Devarim Perek Yud Ches, pasuk Yud Gimel, tomim tiyah im Hashem lokecha. And Rashi explains, his halich imo bitmimus. Be, in a sense, simple. Just be simple. Don't be too complicated. This pasuk comes after the iser of trying to read the future, of trying to incorporate all types of ghosts and using the dead and whatever the sukkim and vayikra are talking about. Don't even bother. We are ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. And if we truly do believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then why should I go so far overboard in trying to figure out what the future holds in store for me? Yes, we have to do our hashtadlus, 100%. We have to do our hashtadlus. But to try to figure out and to psychoanalyze every single tiny little detail, that's what we have to say, tamim tiyam Hashem lokech. That's what we have to throw our hands up and say, I have emunah that this is the one HaKadosh Baruch Hu has set aside for me. Ela koma sheyavu alecha, whatever comes to you, kabel bitmimus, except simply, v'az tiya imo ulechalko. And then, and only then, can we say that we are with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and with Achilek. Yes, I know this seems very charedi. It seems that it's something that's so distant. It seems like it's a tshuva that belongs in Bnei Brak or Mattersdorf and does not belong in New York nowadays. It's just not the way we think. Unfortunately, I think it's a necessary evil. It is a necessary evil, and I've heard Gedolim speak about this, that there has been a little bit of a change in the way our psyche works, that we need a little bit more than what Rav Moshe is talking about. We do. To simply just know that I'm attracted to her, she has a good family, and there's a shmuasa tova, she's shemeres das. I've heard, there's a rumor going around that she's a good girl, and I can marry her. We need a little bit more. And Lefi Anias Daiti, this is just my own opinion, ask your own posik about this one, but the v'mishpachta, the family part, so also I think that may be different nowadays. Just because, unfortunately, there are so many issues, Rachman al-Atzlan, with families all through Klal Yisrael, to hold it against a girl is a very, very tricky thing to do. That's a separate issue. Each case of that should be dealt with individually, but even that shouldn't be taken as a blanket statement. If a girl comes from a bad family, then put her on the blacklist. Not necessarily true. Again, I've heard this from Gedolim, and it's also Lefi Anias Daiti, that I'm not sure if Moshe would continue to say that even nowadays. But still, it seems like something that's so far beyond what we would think of doing. We date a girl for, again, I heard from Gedolim, 6 months. 6 months. Do you think Rav Moshe had in mind 6 months? So what's the chachma? Obviously, if Rav Moshe Feinstein is saying this, there's a chachma behind it. So I want to share with you again, Lefenias Daiti, what the chachma truly is behind what Rav Moshe is saying. And a lot of this goes back, a lot of this goes back to what we spoke about a few weeks ago. At the core of what marriage is about, at the core of what marriage is about, is one thing and one thing only. And that is to give to another person. That is all we should be expecting from marriage. It's pasha to us that everything in life HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts in this world is given for a nisayon, is given for a ruchnias purpose. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed a delicious steak in front of me, so of course I'm not going to say that Hashem gave me the steak so that I can fress and I can eat to my heart's desire. Of course no one would say that. Like the famous story goes of the Chassidish Rebbe wanting to eat an apple, and he said, Rebbe, you want an apple? No, the Rebbe doesn't want the apple. He wants to make a bracha. And the apple is just a hechitimsa to be able to make a bracha. So he takes the apple just to be able to make the bracha. Everything life HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us is purely for ruchnius purposes. Our nesayon is to what extent we can connect to that idea. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, I'll say for my own personal thing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a sport of hockey. And I love playing hockey. Did he give me that sport so that I could win a championship? I can show how much better of a hockey player I am than the other guy? Of course not. He gave me hockey so that after a long and stressful day, I have an outlet. I have something fun I could go do, so that way I could go back to the Beis Medrash, and having vented all my frustration on the hockey court, I can sit and learn with more zrizos, with more enthusiasm. And that's all it's for. And yet when we come to marriage, we want to say, well, what am I getting out of it? And of course, no one's saying that. No one's saying that outright. No one's saying that to Feirish. We're not saying straight out, well, what is she going to give me? Of course, no one's saying that because we know, okay, marriage is about giving. But let's think to ourselves. We don't have to say it out loud. Let's think to ourselves. What are the questions I have asked about the girls that I have dated? Am I attracted enough to her? Is she funny enough? Is she cool enough? Is she nice enough? And granted, all of those things are very important, and we will get to showing why those things, we still hold on to those questions. But if I'm asking those questions because I'm going into marriage wanting something from this girl, then that is the complete and total wrong perspective. I have to go into marriage wanting to give to this girl. Like we said 2 weeks ago, the question is not, is this the right girl for me? But rather, am I the right person for this girl? Do I feel like I can give everything that I am to her and to our future children? That's where the perspective has to start from. Anything other than that just shows that we're in it for ourselves. Of course, we know the goal of every marriage is to have what? Is to have shalom bayis. Shalom. That's the key word. We want shalom bayis. The word shalom comes from the shoresh shin lamed mem, which is also shalem to mean complete. The connection between these two words is that a person, only a person who is complete, can truly experience shalom, can experience peace. Why? Because if there's any type of lacking within me, if I feel a chasaron in who I am, if I have a character trait that just doesn't work, if I have a chisaron inherent within me, then it's likely that that will carry out in my relationship to the other person. If I am not shalem, I cannot have that shalom. I have to focus internally. If there is something wrong in a relationship, the first thing we do look at is always the other person. Oh, she's being too sensitive. She's being an emotional girl. It's not fair. She took what I said totally out of context. It's just not right the way she's reacting to what I said. She's totally overreacting. We should never be looking to the other person. We always look internally. We always look to ourselves to say, what did I do wrong? What do I need to work on? What could I have done better to be more sensitive and more caring to this girl? If I work on myself and I work on my own shlemus, then that is what will lead to the shalom bayis that we're all so deeply hoping for. But only if I'm working on my own shlemus. That's where it has to start. So yes, we need to know that this girl is a baal chesed, 100%. We need to be attracted to her, 100%. Why? Because I'm going to be spending time with this person. Pashut, simple. I'm going to be spending time with this person. I'm going to need to be attracted to her. I'm going to need to know that I can spend time with her, that we can get along, we can have some fun. I need to know those things. But why? Not because of what I expect to get from her, but because of what I hope to be able to give to her. And that has to be the key question. So Rav Moshe Feinstein tells us the things you have to look for in a wife. Very simple. Very simple. Make sure you're attracted to her. She comes from a good family. And again, good family is a fluid context. If she had good role models besides her family, she has a good rav. She has good older siblings. She has a good community. Whatever that can mean, that have a positive influence on her. And then a shmua tova shishomer das. How often do we go out with a girl and we see how she makes a bracha? Oh, I'm not sure if she had enough yirah shemayim in that bracha. I don't know. That's what Moshe says. You're going to test her? It doesn't work. Why are we testing her? She has to be a Yirei Shemayim enough for me. Who am I to determine what kind of Yirei Shemayim this girl is? The Gemara in Yevamos tells us, Nechis Dargo Nesiv Isisa. Take a step down. Lower yourself down and then marry the girl. Because if we're too busy holding ourselves on such a pedestal and thinking too highly of ourselves, then we'll never be able to look at this girl as anything. We're going to be constantly judging her and assuming that she's going to live up to the type of person that we want her to be. A girl who feels judged, a girl who feels criticized, I promise you she will always fail your tests. I promise you. The worst thing you can do to a girl is to be judgmental and critical. It will completely and totally shut her down. We have to be appreciative, we have to be respectful, because that's what they deserve. Because that's what we want to give to them. Because by doing that, we truly bring shalom to our home. She burned the food? So this is actually my wife and I have our own little opinion about this. It's a famous story that I don't know if you guys have heard this story about the gadol. There's always a story about a gadol. About the gadol. One of the first nights he was married to his wife, she made him potatoes, and she burnt the potatoes. And he sat down to eat the burnt potatoes, and she felt horrible. I'm so sorry, I left them in too long, they got burnt, I'm really sorry. And he said, no, honey, don't worry. I like burnt potatoes. I like when you burn the potatoes. And sure enough, every single time afterwards she made the potatoes, she would burn them. And he, wanting to have that shalom bias, would eat the burnt potatoes every single time. Until finally, after a while, he said, you know what, honey? I love burnt potatoes, but variety is good too. So maybe let's try to maybe make them a little bit less cooked. Let's try it that way. Let's see how that works. But do you know how happy that probably made her to hear that from her husband? She knew he was probably joking. She knew it was probably shtick. I wouldn't be surprised if she knew it. But the fact that he didn't get upset, that means more then you go out and buy a $1 million diamond ring that pales in comparison to turning to your wife after she just burned your dinner and saying, oh, honey, thank you so much anyway. Really, I appreciate it so much. That will make her feel like $1 million. I guarantee it.
I have a lot of situations that you can be critical.
100%. 100%. But to be critical, you will only find negative results.
Let's say you come to the house, it's a messy house, like most of the...
So, let me ask you a question. Are you perfect? Do you do anything wrong ever?
No.
Okay. Well then, I have nothing to say to you, I'm sorry. I have no advice to give you, I'm sorry. But we'll talk more after about that. There will always be things wrong. There will always be things that will bother you. That is a guaranteed part of life. And that's the other brilliance behind what Rav Moshe Feinstein is saying. Again, not that he needs my haskama, but just to give a little arichos, a little explanation behind what he's saying, possibly. That no matter how perfect you think this girl is for you, no matter how deeply and amazingly in love you are with her, there will be issues. There will be problems. And when we say there will be issues, that doesn't mean that, okay, so she'll bother you a little bit, but it'll be okay. I call this the Full House Syndrome. You guys know what Full House is? Okay, so when I was a child, growing up, this was a TV show, Full House. And Full House was as wholesome of a TV show as you could find. This was, figure, 20 years ago. So back then, it was a whole new Bria. There was, relatively speaking, kosher television shows on. Again, I was a child then. There was never a problem. There was never a problem in the show that wasn't solved within a half hour. No matter how critical the issue was, by the end of the half hour, there was some pleasant music playing in the background, and everyone loved each other again. And we have fallen into that trap thinking that when we hear that, yeah, there are issues in life, sometimes things don't go exactly the way we planned, whatever, we have this image in our mind of, okay, it'll be a little difficult, but whatever, it'll be okay. When people tell you that there are issues in marriage, and that marriage takes hard work, take that as deeply and as honestly and as strongly as you possibly can. I have a friend, Baruch Hashem, he is happily married now. He lives in Eretz Yisrael. He's learning. He has a beautiful family. He is as intense an individual as you could possibly imagine. He was like that all through high school. That's just his personality. He is hysterical and as funny as you could also possibly imagine. But he also has such an intensity. And I remember after he got married, I was talking to him. He was married for a few years already by that point. We were just talking in general about life and about dating and marriage and whatever. And he grabs me on the shoulders and he says, I can't even tell you how hard this is. And you saw that his face was turning bright red. Marriage is hard. For us to sit here and try to psychoanalyze the girl in front of us as if I know exactly every single detail of her life. So first of all, who are we? Who here has a PhD in psychology? Raise your hand. Social work, philosophy, anything that shows any expertise in human nature whatsoever. Anyone here? I just put my hand down because I don't know either. The Gottmans are a famous couple. They are revolutionizing the world of marital therapy with their research they're doing in Seattle. When they came here for a conference last year, they blew the conference away with one of their ideas, which is they handed out a questionnaire about 20 pages long. And they said, when you work with a couple, you have a few sessions, you ask them to fill out this 20-page long questionnaire, and then you can start. Then you could start maybe doing real therapy with this couple. An experienced PhD, psychology, social, whatever it is, with years of therapeutic experience and books and research. And she said herself, this woman said herself, that she follows this process also. She will not pass judgment on a couple. She will not begin to try to understand the couple until a few different sessions and 20 pages of a questionnaire. And yet we, with all of our brilliance, go out with a girl and we think we've got her pinned down like that. So A, we see how ridiculous that is. And B, it doesn't help anyway, as Rav Moshe Feinstein said. Who knows what's going to be in the future? Who knows what the future holds? Again, I'll tell you my own personal story. When I was in college, I was pre-med. And I was dating already. I started dating while I was pre-med. A little while later, I decided, you know what, medicine may not be for me. I want to get smicha. I want to go into the mental health. I want to do something along the lines of being a mashgiach of yeshiva. Had I married one of those original girls, and many girls have their preference, some dafka won't go out with a doctor, some want a doctor and won't go out with someone in chinuch or rabbanus. But had I married one of those girls, who knows what my life would have been? Obviously, Kosh Baruch Hu had the plan set, so Baruch Hashem worked out beautifully for me. But we have no idea what our life has in store for us. So for us to sit here and to psychoanalyze every single little point and to think that we know exactly how it's going to turn out in the future, it's saying one thing. It's saying, Kochi ve'otzem yadi asa liyas achayel hazeh. It is based on my own insight. It is based on my own wisdom that I will get myself married. The truth is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mezaveg zivugim. Our hishtadlus is very simply to go out with this girl and to see if I can get along with her. Have things checked out in advance. Know what her family background is in general. Again, in general. The attraction, again, should be very easily determined from the first date. And of course, you give it time. We don't expect every single girl that we're going out with that we're going to be head over heels running after the second we see them. Attraction grows over time. Just human nature, we are more critical of someone that has a personal connection to us that possibly can be our wife. So if we see a girl just random on a street and we're judging her 1 to 10, which Chas v'Shalom we should never do, but just for argument's sake here, we see a girl on the street, we're at a L'chaim and we see a girl, on a scale of 1 to 10, we'd give her an 8. But if we saw her as she was the one that I'm picking up for my first date, she'll probably drop down to a 5. Just because our human nature is that we're going to be more critical of the girl we're picking up for the date. We cannot be too involved in making these decisions. The key is just to step back and relax, to realize that the key of marriage is to give. So I simply want to go out with a person to see, can I build a strong enough connection with this person so that I want to give everything I am to them? So that I want to be patient for them. I want to show them appreciation. I want to show them respect and care. When we have our children together, I want to give everything to our children together because I respect the fact that this woman will be the mother of my children. Just to see if I can build that bond, that connection with this girl. To make all these different cheshbonos, to psychoanalyze the girl again, to find every single detail. Kochi ve'otzem yadi. If you have questions, of course, you ask them. If there's certain things that raise a red flag, if a girl's out on a date and the waiter brings her the wrong food and she starts yelling at the waiter, okay, that's something to pay attention to 100%. But if she says thank you with a half a smile instead of a full smile, if she says the bracha with this kavana, not that kavana, she spoke about a story from her childhood, I don't know what that means, that's what we have to say. Let me just relax a little bit. I'm in this not to judge this girl to see if she's good enough for me. I'm in this to see if I'm good enough for her. And if I am and I give to her, then I know we'll have that shalom bias. Because then I'm saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I believe in you and I trust you. So I'll do my hishtadlus and then I'll leave the rest up to you. Be'ezus Hashem Yisparach, by us doing our hishtadlus, like Rashi explains, Tavantiyah Mashem Alkechem and Mashem Alkecha, Va'az tia imo l'chalko, and then we'll be able to feel the ziv hashchina in all of our homes and build a beautiful sense of shalom bayis amongst all of Klal Yisrael.